Father's will. Peace, peace, still. Lord of all, Jesus is Lord of all. Master, Creator, Lord of all. Bow down before the King, exalt and adore the King. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. Mary is weeping and Martha is crying. Mourners are gathering for Lazarus is dead. Christ steps up to the tomb and calls out,
Lord of all, Jesus is Lord of all.
Master, Creator, Lord of all. Bow down before the King, exalt and adore the King. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all.
Jeremiah 42 in your Bibles this afternoon, if you'd be so kind. I don't know what to say to thank you for your very generous gift. I wondered fleetingly if Pastor had something up his sleeve. He texted me this past week with a story about them cutting stones for the temple in Jerusalem, which somehow segued into him asking me to preach this afternoon. And then I don't know all of it, but Lacey was with the ladies from your churches. They went down to the ladies' conference yesterday, which turned out pretty well from what I hear. But she said she would see them tomorrow, and even the pastor's wife didn't know that we were coming. So it meant that they would still be here, which usually when he has me fill in, it's because he's going to be out for some reason or other. I'm not saying you should leave. I just don't know how to thank you for the generous gift that you've given us. It means a lot. Isaiah chapter 42. Jeremiah. I was in Isaiah this morning with my church. If you found Jeremiah chapter 42, if you'd stand with me in honor of God's word as we begin reading. It's going to be a lengthy passage this morning. We'll see how much we read for the initial reading, but Jeremiah chapter 42, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even to the greatest came near. and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall do, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, The Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for another opportunity to look into your scriptures and to be able to see ourselves in them. Lord, we ask that you would help us this afternoon, that our hearts would be open and soft to your touch, that you might be able to form us, show each of us what you would have us to see, whether it be something that we need to deal with something now, or whether it be something that we store away, that in time of need, we might use it then. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jeremiah is a bit of a sad book. He's a prophet that preaches to the children of Israel, and he isn't well received. We'll put it that way. There's a lot that goes on in the book of Jeremiah, and I won't go through all of it tonight, but the children of Israel are rebellious towards God. They have refused to listen to Jeremiah as he's continually telling them, turn back to God, put away all these wickedness, all this wickedness and iniquity that you're doing, turn back to God. They refuse to hear him. He tells them the judgment of God is coming in the form of King Nebuchadnezzar. And then he tells them, you're going to lose. And it's going to be better for you if you go out and surrender to the king of Babylon than if you keep fighting. And they didn't listen to him. They even put him in prison a couple times. They tried to kill him a couple times. And now it's happened. The king of Babylon has come. He's conquered them not only once, but twice. And now Jerusalem has been burnt. The king has been captured. Johanan, the son of Kareah, has a remnant of the forces of Israel with him, and he's kind of running around as a semi-partisan group. The governor that that Nebuchadnezzar put over Judah is he was a man that people trusted. And he was put over the children of Israel. People were coming back to Judah, saying, okay, well, there's going to be some stability. And then somebody came along, and I don't know if he considered him a collaborator or what, but he killed him. And so Johanan, the son of Kareah, came and he took care of that guy and the people that were with him, at least chasing him out of the country. Things are pretty dark here. But at the beginning of chapter 42, we have something that seems promising. Johanan, the son of Kareah, he comes with Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all these people that they've got with them, that they have, banded together to try to bring some order out of all this chaos. And they come to Jeremiah and say, hey, you're the prophet, you're the man of God, would you go to God for us and ask God what we are supposed to do? Because this is a pretty dark time, and we need guidance from God. And Jeremiah says, hey, you know what, I'll do that. I'll go, I'll pray to the Lord for you according to your words, and I'll bring God's answer back to you. And they say, yeah, great, and God is faithful and true witness between us if we don't do everything that God tells us to do. Whether it's good, whether it's evil, we'll obey the voice of the Lord our God, we'll do what God says, and it all sounds great. Until Jeremiah comes back with the answer. Because in verse 7 we see, and it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people which from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him, if ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you, and not pull you down. I will plant you, and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. But if ye say, We will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, No, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you in there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall return or escape from the evil that I shall bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, As mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when ye shall enter into Egypt. And ye shall be an execration, and an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach. And ye shall see this place no more. The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, Go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day, for ye dissembled in your hearts, when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, Pray for us the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he hath sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn. And we might think that as it ends, that Jeremiah is maybe getting a little bit cynical, maybe getting a little bit, I can tell you whatever I want, but you're not going to do it. That's how it reads at first, but then if you continue reading into the next chapter, you see, and it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, the words of the Lord their God, for the which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, Go not into Egypt to sojourn there, but Baruch the son of Neriah set thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they may put us to death, and carry us away captives into Babylon. So, he was being entirely accurate with what he said. You've dissembled in your hearts, you've decided you're not going to obey the God, and, but what we see here is an interesting scenario. We see a group of people that realize that they need God. Things are bad. Probably worse than they've ever seen in their lives. The kingdom has collapsed around them. The capital has been burned, destroyed, raised to the ground. The king has been captured and he's going to have his eyes put out. And that's all different story. But all of this has come to pass. The governor that was put over the land that promised some sort of stability has been killed. And just this whole mess. And they realize that they need God. Sort of.
They see that things are bad, and they hope that God will make things better. And they've come up with this way that they think that God can make things better. They already have this plan when they go to Jeremiah. What we want is we'll go to Jeremiah and we'll ask him to go to the Lord for, you know, for guidance on what we should do. And what Jeremiah is going to tell us is that God wants us to go to Egypt. Because down there it's peaceful. Down there there's no war, there's no famine, there's no hardship. Down there it's pleasant. Down there it's easy. Down there it's comfortable. So obviously, God wants us to go there, right? And they've probably convinced themselves that their will is God's will. And they may not have even realized that they'd done this until Jeremiah gives them an answer that they don't want. Because as he said, they've dissembled in their hearts. They've deceived themselves. My dad often said, and again, this can sound like a piece of cynical advice from somebody who's been in the ministry too long, but my dad has often said that people will oftentimes go to you for counsel as the man of God, as the preacher, as the pastor, whatever you want to call them. They'll go to you for counsel, but they don't want your advice. They want you to give them a rubber stamp approval of what they've already decided to do. And we see that's exactly what's happened here in this passage. We see that they have decided on a course of action. They've decided what they're going to do. And they want God to okay it. They want God to approve it. Oh yeah, yeah, looks good to me. But that's not how God operates. God is not here simply to affirm what we've decided to do. If he was that kind of God, they wouldn't have been in that situation to begin with. Because the reason they were in all this chaos, the reason they were in all this turmoil, was because they had refused to obey God's commandments. God said, this is how you're supposed to behave in the land. And if you don't, these are all the bad things that are going to happen. If you do, there's all these blessings that can come. But they have, for a long time now, they've continually refused to obey the word of the Lord. And as you read the book of Jeremiah over and over and over again, he says, you know, I've told you through the prophets, I rose up early sending prophets. You know, I have gone out of my way to make sure that you knew what I wanted you to do. I've gone out of my way. I didn't procrastinate. I didn't just, oh, well, at the last minute, here's what you were supposed to do. And you just haven't been doing that, so here's judgment. No, they've been, I got up early. I let you know soon and continually. And I've been giving you these prophets, telling you what you should be doing, telling you how you should be obeying my commandments, where you've been going wrong, and you haven't been listening. And that's the reason that they're in this situation. But they don't learn from that because they have already decided what they're going to do. We were in Isaiah chapter 5 this morning, and there's a verse that says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. That fairly well describes this group of people here in this passage today. They have got it all figured out. You know what? It's really messed up here. There's chaos, there's turmoil, everything's all up in the air. Don't know what's going to happen next. Why don't we go down to Egypt? We'll go over to Egypt, and we will have peace, we'll have food, we'll have everything that we didn't have here, because down there, none of this stuff is happening. And we look at these people. We look at Johanan, the son of Kareah, and these others, and we kind of shake our heads because we see in chapter 42, they say, hey, go to the Lord for us. Whatever he says, we'll do it. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God. And then at the beginning of chapter 43, God didn't speak to you. You're lying to us.
Amen.
Baruch the son of Neriah, he's the one who put you up to this, isn't he? He wants us to go get captured by the Chaldeans and they'll kill us and send us into captivity. That's what he wants to do. Hey, we're going to Egypt. And we look at them and we kind of laugh and scratch our heads. But we do the same thing.
Amen.
We persuade ourselves that we have figured out God's will. We figure out all these reasons as to why God wants us to do this. And it just so happens. It just so happens that it almost always coincides with what we wanted to do. But God doesn't always operate that way. Now, I'm not saying that just because you want to do something means it's wrong to do and that God isn't telling you to do that. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. As you get closer to God, your desires become his desires, and he will give you those desires, the good desires. But our natural tendency is to fix our eyes and fix our hearts on things that are not what God wants us to do. And if we're not careful, we can dissemble in our hearts and we can deceive ourselves and figure out how we can word things and finagle things in just such a way that, well, if you squint this way and touch your head, and well, yeah, that looks exactly like God's will. Mm-hmm. And then when somebody tells us, no, that's not what the scripture says. No, that's not how God works. No, that doesn't look like the will of God. We get upset. You're lying. God didn't tell you that. I'm just not getting fed here anymore, Pastor. How many times have we heard that? Be careful. Are you saying that I'm doing this? No. Might be that for you this is just something that you can tuck away in your brain and in your heart and as a warning for the future so that you make sure that as you go forward you don't do this in the future. Maybe it is something that you are dealing with right now. I don't know. God deals with the hearts. Let us be careful as we look at the future. Things may be difficult. Honestly, if I were in their situation, Egypt would probably look pretty good. They're in a war zone. The Jerusalem had been besieged for 2 years before it fell, which means that the surrounding area is probably pretty much stripped of resources because besieging armies would take the resources from the countryside to feed themselves, to make siege engines, to do all these things. And so the surrounding countryside is probably stripped. There's political chaos. There are bands of people going around killing people. Jews killing Jews. Who would have thought that? And you know what? Egypt really looks good. Egypt really looks comfortable. I'm reminded of, well, not just the recent events in Ukraine, but pretty much any time you hear about turmoil and upset happening overseas, and we have missionaries over there and all that, what do you hear people say? Well, they had to come home. Pray for them that they'll be able to get out. And I'm not saying that it's always wrong to leave a dangerous situation. I'm not saying that it's always wrong for that to happen. I'm not trying to throw dirt or to cast aspersions that, well, maybe, you know, they're not just following God's will. I'm not trying to do that. But what I'm saying is our knee-jerk reaction. We see a hard time and we say, oops, backing off from that. We see a difficult time and we don't want it. We get out. We get away. And sometimes it's the right thing to do. But sometimes God wants you to stay. Sometimes God wants you to deal with the difficult times. God told them here through Jeremiah, you know what? If you stay in the land, if you stay here in this war-torn, turmoiled, chaotic, devastated land, and I'm going to build you. I'm going to make things better for you. I'm going to repent of the evil that I have done you. Things can go well for you here. But they didn't want to listen. I guess one thing is they trusted their own assessment of the situation more than they trusted God. They said, war zone, fertile fields, death, famine, pestilence, lots of food, peace. I'm going that way. And God couldn't change their minds. Because they had already decided what they were going to do. We need to be careful that when we seek God's advice, we're actually willing to listen to what he says. When we go to hear the preaching of the Word of God, when we go to seek counsel from the man of God, when we do any of these things, we've got to make sure that we don't already have a preconceived idea of what he should say, and if he doesn't say that, I'm not listening. God doesn't always do the expected. He doesn't always take us into the pleasant fields and, you know, flowers and sunshine and rainbows and unicorn kittens. He takes us sometimes through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, we quote Psalm 23 when we're in times of difficulty because it's comforting. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Well, could he have made it so that I didn't have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Yes. Sometimes God's choice is to take us through the hard times. Sometimes God's choice is to make it difficult for us. And there are many reasons for this. It's a growing time. It's a time of faith. It's a time to draw closer to God. Many things that we can use these times of trial for. Many things that we can use these times of difficulty for. But we have to trust God to know what He's doing. Let's not make the same mistake as Johanan, the son of Korea, and the others that are with him. Oh, and by the way, when they went down to Egypt, Jeremiah starts prophesying, hey, Nebuchadnezzar's coming here too. There's going to be war here too. They ran away from their problems, but their problems followed them. Would have been better for them if they had actually listened to what God said. Does it make sense? Not really. Do I see how it's going to work out? Nope. But it's what God said to do. So I'm going to stay here in this war-torn, chaotic pit of a blaze. What they should have done. Instead, they decided that they knew better. They trusted their own reason, their own assessments, rather than God. And they paid the price for it. Let's beware, be careful that we don't come to God with an idea to be rubber stamped. God sometimes uses our ideas, I'm not trying to say that, just that let's make sure that when God says something, we listen. That we don't have some exclusive, if you're not within these parameters, then I'm not doing it. If you're not within this box of what I find acceptable, this box of what I find agreeable, then I'm not doing it. Let's let God make the decisions. Let's let God be God. And trust Him. Have faith that He will do what He says. That He will He'll make it all work out. All things work together for good to them that are called, to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, I know we sometimes overuse these verses and sometimes out of context, but God knows them that are His. You trust the Lord. Do good. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way into the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. He takes care of His own people if we listen to Him, if we trust Him. Otherwise, we end up going our own way and our problems just follow us and then we end up dying. Father, we thank You for Your word. We ask that You would help us carry these things with us, whether for a decision we need to make now, or for something that we don't even see down the road yet. But Lord, You said perilous times will come. Help us to lean on You, to trust in You, even when the answer doesn't quite make sense according to what we can see and how we can think. Let us say, as I believe it was Jehoshaphat said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are fixed on Thee. Whatever You say, Lord, that's what we want to do. Even if it means doing something that's uncomfortable, even if it means doing something that doesn't make sense, help us, Lord, to listen to You, to lean on You, to trust in You.
Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.